There's Gemara Mitzia, where the Gemara tells us it's a very famous, it's a very, very famous line. We're going to focus on really the meaning of one word in this Gemara, and hopefully we'll be able to appreciate a little bit some of its significance. The Gemara tells us follows: the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, b'hani tfas mili avidi rabbanan d'mishanim b'milayhu. That normally we assume that talmidei chachamim, we assume people that are learned, people that are engaged in Talmud Torah, are going to be incredibly honest. Normally we assume d'var sheker tirchak. That the more that a person is learned, we assume that those people you can really rely upon. So the Gemara says, but there are three areas in which Rabbanan sometimes don't always tell the truth, in a permitted way. Those are b'mesechet, in the tractate that you are learning, b'puraya, and uve'ushpiza. We're not going to translate b'puraya uve'ushpiza for now, maybe a different time, but the word b'mesechet or b'mesechta is a very intriguing word. Now, as the Chida points out, the Gemara is not saying that you're chayev to lie about these things. The Gemara is saying that you are allowed to, in certain circumstances, lie about these things. What is mesechta, and why are you not telling the truth? So the simple pshat, clearly, we're talking about something that relates to your Torah learning. And there is something that comes up in regards to your Torah learning where you are allowed to lie. The Gemara does not tell us what exactly you are learning. The Gemara does not exactly tell us why you are allowed to lie. What are the circumstances beyond that, or what would motivate a particular person to not tell the truth? We don't know. So we're going to see, I think many of us assume like what Rashi says, but in fact, there are two additional mehalchem in Rishonim, at least, both of which are somewhat intriguing. But Rashi says, Yesh b'yadcha meseches ploni sedura begirsa olam. Someone says to you, oh, you're learning bar mitzvah this year? Like, you're holding a bar mitzvah or not? You're clear in what happened or you're not? Even if you really are very much aware, you're really holding in what you're learning, that part of the midah of a humble person is to be comfortable saying, you know what, I don't know it that well. That Gemara, I didn't really get it that well. Tosfos points out, but doesn't the Gemara in Kiddushin tell us that when people ask you Torah questions, you should always be mechudadin beficha? You should really be clear in your learning so that if someone would ask you, you could answer very, very clearly. So Tosfos says the midah of anava here is limited to particular cases. If someone really wants to learn, or somebody needs to know a psak halacha, so then you got to tell them right away. Our Gemara says Tosfos speaking about a very limited case. The limited case where someone comes over, as happens sometimes, and is just asking you to see how good you are or not in learning. It's not that they're actually interested in learning anything. It's not that they come over in the middle of the kiyas and they say, oh, did you get up to Daf Chaf Gimel yet? And you're going to say, no. If they really want to know, so then you should ask them. If a person asks you just to sort of like see what you're up to, like that kind of a conversation, like, oh, what daf are you up to? Not that I have a question. Not that I'm looking for a psak. I just want to know. I want to test where you're up to. So Tosfos says, so that's when you're allowed, because of the midah of anava, to not say that much. The Rav suggests that maybe Rashi thinks that you could even, in cases where he actually wants to learn, you could sometimes even not fully answer. But that's one mahalach, I think, is the more standard shot in the Gemara, that sometimes it's appropriate, because of the midah of anava, for a person to say, yeah, I'm not sure, or no, I didn't really get that so well. It's because it's a certain kind of character trait that we're trying to highlight. There is, in many ways, an opposite approach. An opposite approach, which is remarkably intriguing, and it's one that I think is sometimes not appreciated, but again, I think it's fascinating. The Meiri there explains as follows. Says the Meiri that sometimes, a guy comes over to you, you're at a Shabbos meal, and the guy says to you, so new, what mesecht are you learning? And you know, I'm really not that good in Bav Metzia, but I was much better in Yuma. Here I'm lying not out of anava, I'm lying in many ways to protect my reputation. I'm lying in order so that it comes off like I'm holding more than I am. Like you're learning Bav Metzia, and this week we're learning sugyas of Sumchas. And Sumchas, the sugyas of Sumchas and Rabbana, Mamana, Hamatuba Safek, let's pretend it's incredibly complicated, no one isn't anything. Someone comes to you and they say, so new, what so good you do this week? So says the Miri, you can really sort of answer, yeah, we had a great discussion about the Inuyam on Yom Kippur. A great discussion about maybe Yachloku, because maybe I was holding more in that. And for the Me'iri, the lying is in order to protect your reputation. It's a fascinating thing because you want to speak about in general how it's usher to lie, and we're talking about potential hetter to lie. It's one thing to be matir because of the midah of anava. That's one thing for the sake. Okay, because of that value of humility. So Chazal understood that sometimes it's okay to not always be entirely honest about what you're learning. But here, it's actually not about that. I'm allowed to lie a bit so that I will protect the way that I'm perceived. This is not because I think it's not a stira. It's not because of a value of gaiva, but I think it's an understanding sometimes that it's complicated to have someone to say you've learned something, have people asking you questions, not really being able to answer, and for a person's own self-image, for a person's own self-perception. So the Me'iri understands in that Gemara, it's okay sometimes to say, yeah, I'm learning something else. If a guy comes up to me and says, he sees I'm on Daf Chav Dalet, and Daf Chav Dalet, I don't follow that much. He says, oh, can I ask you a question, Daf Chav Dalet? So you would say, I'm actually not Chav Dalet, I'm still holding on Daf Yudal. My Gemara flipped here by mistake or something, you know, or something along those lines. In order to protect you from the guy coming and asking you questions and being like, I don't know if you really learned Daf Chav Dalet. Are you sure you're up to Chav Dalet? Because I'm not sure. You know, so in order to protect you a little bit, So that's the Me'iri. There is a third Shita in Rishonim, which I think is also really intriguing, and we'll try to explain in a minute why I think they're all intriguing, you know, in Yeshiva Dafka. The Rambam's examples as follows. Hilchos Geneva Aveda, it's the halach which comes up in the context of Hilchos Hashavas Aveda. The Rambam says, Ketza, Haya Osek B'Mesechas Nida. So you're learning Nida. V'amar B'Mikvos An Yishonim. I'm actually learning Mesechas Mikvos right now. Because I don't want people asking me Nida questions. So instead, I say, what are you learning? I say Mikvos. Wait, so I say I'm learning Nida, Mikvos, to avoid Nida questions. Why is that? Why am I trying to avoid Nida questions? What's the problem with Nida questions? So Lecha Mishnah says, similar to what the Me'iri said, which is, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm not holding a Nida enough. So even though I'm learning Nida, the guy's going to come over and say, can I ask you a Nida question? So I'm going to say, I don't want to be asked Nida questions. I'm not holding a Nida so much. So in order to avoid that, I say, I'm actually learning Mikvahos right now. Or I'm actually learning Me'ila right now. You have any Halacha Maisa Me'ila questions? Because I can definitely pass on those. You know, you pull some sort of a move in order to avoid. Lecha Mishnah, understand it's a little bit more like the Rambam. Toras Chaim, the Baragol, a different Pshat. But the Maisa Rokeach has an interesting theory, which is as follows. Nida, which deals with an area of life which is sometimes a little bit private and sometimes connected to the world of Arayos and the like. So it's possible that a person who's learning Nida sometimes could be like a little bit embarrassed, at least the way some of the Achronim say it. Like you're learning Nida, it's like, I don't understand, you have like problems with Taivas that you need to like be learning like Maseches Nida right now, talking about like women and Nida and Arayos and things like that. Like what exactly is going on? So some of the Farshim explain it. So the reason why I'm saying I'm not learning Nida isn't because I'm not qualified to answer a Nida question, but I'm embarrassed that I'm going to be learning something that someone else is going to be looking at what I'm learning, and they are going to, on some level, be judging me as a result of what I'm learning. They're going to look at what I'm learning, and they're going to be saying, that's what you're learning? Like, what's up with that? That's a little bit odd. You know, and that can be true in Nida. But theoretically, for many of us, we could envision that being true in other things also in two directions. A person, whereas for Rashi, it's about not telling the truth always out of a midah of anava of what you're up to in learning. For the Me'iri or the Lecha Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, it's more about a perception issue as to, I don't want people to realize I don't know that much. That what the Rambam may be highlighting for some Achronim is something very fascinating, which is like this. Often in learning, I don't know if you've noticed this ever, but if you walk into a Beis Medrash, so it's a very common thing, especially with people who are a little bit judgmental, to walk into a Beis Medrash and then to look a little bit at like, oh, what Sfarim does he have by his Makom? What Sfarim does he have by his Makom? It is the whole phenomenon, if anyone is like, follows the stuff on like Twitter, and it's gotten into like, you know, even some of the academic, a little like the shelfies of looking at like what Sfarim people have in the background of their Zoom. Are they sitting like, you know, and it's like, oh, I gotta get my best Sfarim behind me, you know, and like, let it look like, kind of rip some of the binding just so it can really look like, whoa, he's really been learning a lot of, like, what is that safer, you know, little Medrash says, you know, like, he's really just there totally. Like, but you have that phenomenon sometimes where the question really is, where people are very sensitive to like what svarim people have, what svarim they're learning. And they're like, you walk into a Beis Medrash, Night Seder sometimes, again, people who are a little bit insecure and a little bit judgmental can walk into a Beis Medrash sometimes and say, ooh, what sefer is he learning and what sefer is that learning? Oh, what mesechta is your yeshiva learning right now? And in many ways, what I think the Rambam may be sensitive to, at least according to some achronim, is the phenomenon that can be deeply challenging for someone in two directions. Sometimes I can be nervous because I am learning something at a lower level than where, you know, people would suspect I would be. So I want to learn Chumash, and maybe this Chumash is one that, you know, makes it more understandable for me. So but maybe I'm a little bit embarrassed that this is what I'm using. So instead, you know, so I can be a little embarrassed about that. Sometimes it could be the opposite. Maybe I'm learning something very complex. Maybe I'm learning Maseches Negayim right now. And the guy in the Oalos, they're referred to as Chazal, potentially the most difficult Masechtas. And a guy walks in, he's like, whew, look at you. Negayim. Wow. You know, that's like a big deal. We started giving these shiurim on Thursday nights years ago. It took me a couple of years before I would post them online. Because to post shiurim on Negayim online was like, who do you think? Like, settle down a little bit. And sometimes it could be I'm learning something, which I'm embarrassed to learn because it's a Musar Sefer or a book on a particular topic, which is relevant for me, but I'm a little bit embarrassed about. And for the Rambam, the heter, at least the one way of saying it, to not always be so open about what you're learning is because it's a sensitive topic, and because I don't always want to be so open and so clear about that. In that way, the three different mahalchim in Rishonim for what exactly, when you can massage the truth a little bit in regards to what you're learning, reflect in many ways different kinds of orientations and different perspectives. Anava, saving your reputation, and also being sensitive to what you're learning. In many ways, the Gemara is referring to the person, the Talmud Chacham himself, who wants to lie. But in a certain sense, it also is a mechayiv, or it reflects important lessons about the environment we create as people that are not just the one learning. But what are the comments that you make when you see someone learning a particular sefer? Ooh, art scroll. You know, or it's like, look at you with that me'ila open. You know, like what's going on there? Or whatever it may be, to be able to create a culture where what motivates this is never really there. A culture not where you're testing what people are up to, a culture not where you are assessing what people are learning in a particular way, but to create a positive culture which can be, you know, moving in more or less a good direction.